Here we are again, another year, another slideshow, another fresh set of candles, another long list of loved ones who are no longer with us. For those of you who haven't been with us on Eternity Sunday before, this is the day when we name our losses. Like many other churches around the world on this day, we take time to reflect on the past year, remembering and mourning the people and the things that we have lost and had taken from us. Many of us have experienced death in our close circles of family and friends this year. Our grief is still fresh. For others, the death that you're thinking of, or maybe several of them, might be long ago. And today we also remember those losses. We want to feel the bittersweet sorrow of those memories that are worn with time. This year at Wildwood, we've heard a lot from writer Valerie Kaur in her book, See No Stranger. In her chapter on grief, she writes, "Grief is the price of love. Loving someone means that one day there will be grieving. They will leave you, or you will leave them. The more you love, the more you grieve. Grieving is an act of surrender." We surrender this morning, having loved greatly, feeling our grief deeply. And as we all know, death isn't the only loss that comes with life. All kinds of significant changes bring grief as well. The loss of health or ability, the loss of agency felt or feared, that loss brought on by aging, the end of a job, missed opportunity, the end of one season, the beginning of another, the breakup of a relationship, the slow drift of a friendship, the geographic absence of those who have moved away, or more esoteric losses, the loss of the feeling of security, loss of trust, loss of hope, complicated uncertainties of life in 2023. Perhaps you feel the combination of all of that and more. Change and loss are part of life, and it is appropriate to pause and acknowledge them, to admit our pain and our confusion and our fears. So that's what we're here to do this morning. We're going to take time to reflect on those losses and to listen for God's voice in the midst of pain. Listen for God to speak words of comfort to those who mourn. At the same time, I also invite you to consider not just the losses, but the things that remain, the things that linger, the signs of beauty and hope that still surround us, the promises that sustain us. In a minute, you'll be welcome to come to the front to light a candle of remembrance for a loss, any loss that you're carrying, whether that's from this year, from long ago, any loss. The microphone here is open as well. Again, we'll have an open time in a little bit after the slideshow for anyone to come up. And if you'd like to light a candle and just sit back down, that's fine. Or if you'd like to say a few words, let us know why you're lighting the candle. That would be good as well. Or if you have something else to share, a memory, a prayer, a word of encouragement or hope, the microphone is open for that too. For those of you joining on Zoom, I will be paying attention to the chat there, so if you have a name or a reason for us to light a candle there, you can write that into the chat and I will read it out here and light a candle on your behalf. Let's pray as we enter this time of remembering. Everlasting God, you are our refuge and strength, a helper close at hand, a shelter in time of need. Help us, O God, to hear your words of comfort in our loss, so that by faith our fears might be dispelled, our loneliness eased, and our hope revived. May your Holy Spirit carry us through our sorrow into the comfort of your presence, which endures for all eternity. Amen. We will begin with a slideshow of loved ones who have passed away in this year. And as I read the names, I will invite a representative to come forward to light a candle in their memory. We mark Eternity Sunday at the end of the church year, which is right before the new beginning, that is the season of Advent and Christmas. Endings and beginnings are always linked in this life, always. The undoing is part of the remaking. Hear the promise of the Emmanuel, the God who is with us. From Isaiah 61, the Spirit of God is with us, good news to the poor, comfort for the brokenhearted, freedom for all kinds of captivity. To all of God's people who mourn, God will give beauty for ashes, joy instead of mourning, praise instead of despair, for God has planted them like strong and graceful oaks, shining with divine light. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. The words of Jesus the Christ, one of his most famous sayings from the Gospel of John. What do those words mean to you? For many Christians, myself included, we hear Jesus pointing to the afterlife that we've mentioned today, that we've talked about last Sunday and imagined last Sunday. There is more to come. Death is not the end. Not really. There's resurrection. The hope of eternity awaits. There is something in you that will carry on past the grave. Out of death, I bring new life. I am the resurrection. Always, for that is the way of things. I am the resurrection and the life. It's a great line. I've often wondered about the timing, though. Some of you will know that this line comes from the story of Jesus literally raising his friend Lazarus from the tomb. His friend has died, and Jesus traveled to the funeral in progress. He got there 4 days late. They had long funerals. He interrupted it by leading the crowd to the tomb and dramatically calling out, "Lazarus, come forth!" To everyone's shock and amazement, Lazarus somehow heard and obeyed. He came forth, grave clothes and all. You might imagine the screenplay. There's the dark, open tomb. The camera zooms in. Was that some movement? What's going on there? Oh, yes, it's him. It's Lazarus, alive and well. The camera pans over the crowd. Mary and Martha running to embrace their brother. The rest of the group standing there like we would all be standing there, jaws on the floor. This is beyond belief. And then the camera slowly turns and lands on Jesus. And he smiles, arms outstretched. "I am the resurrection and the life. Though he were dead, yet shall he live." And in the movie, the screen flashes forward to the stone being rolled away from Jesus' own tomb, his empty grave clothes. And the camera goes soft as it pictures this scene of the resurrected Jesus glowing in his return to greet his disciples. End of the movie, the screen fades not to black, but to white, and the credits roll as the theater audience breaks into applause, or something like that. Not switching careers anytime soon. "I am the resurrection and the life. Victory!" That would have made a great closing line, the exclamation mark at the end of Lazarus's scene. But if you know the story, that's not actually how it goes. The story goes like that. There's the resurrection and all. But the Gospel of John actually places this line in the middle of the story, long before we get to the graveyard. As I said, Jesus was late to the funeral. He had actually heard that Lazarus was dying the week before, but for some reason he did not go to be with his friend right away. By the time he got there, Lazarus had died. He'd already been in the tomb for 4 days. When Jesus got there, Lazarus' sister Martha was mad. "Where were you? You're the miracle man. You should have been here. You could have stopped this. Why didn't you help us when we needed it?" And that's when Jesus drops the line, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who has faith will live, even though they die. Do you trust me?" Martha wanted Jesus to prevent her brother from dying. She wanted faith to protect her from the pain and the loss. But no, Jesus says, there will be death and there will still be life. This is not an either or. This is a both and. Life includes death, and it goes beyond. And then Jesus goes on to demonstrate what he means. He experiences the fullness of loss for his friend. He's there. He witnesses it. He listens to the anger and denial of Martha. He is moved with compassion by the tears and despair of the other sister, Mary. He goes through the awkwardness of the funeral crowd, people staring, people whispering, people fumbling for words. You know whose fault this really is. It's the miracle guy over here. Jesus heard all of that. He met all of it and felt it. He allowed it to move him. He was publicly overcome by his internal grief. He made enough of a scene with his own tears that they became one of the most memorable lines in the best-selling book of all time. Jesus wept. Even after delivering that great line about the resurrection, even knowing, presumably, that he was about to roll back the tomb and bring Lazarus back to life, Jesus wept. He felt it all. He hid from nothing. He allowed grief to do its work in him. I am the resurrection and the life. This week, that verse landed differently for me than it usually does. As I said, the resurrection piece is the attention grabber. It's the red highlight. Life beyond the grave. How is that possible? What is that like? But today, I hear the and more strongly. And the life. We look forward to the resurrection, and we live now in fullness. Martha was looking backwards to what might have been. Where were you? Why didn't you stop this? And then she was looking forward to someday, yes, I believe in the resurrection, that my brother will rise again at the last day. And Jesus doesn't deny her hope. He affirms it. I am the resurrection, and I am life. Follow me, and you will live now in the fullness, in the length and depth and broadness, the fear, the terror, the joy, the whole thing. I am the life. Our faith does not rescue us from death and grief, but it carries us through it. It invites us deeper into it, actually, to really experience it, to go where we don't have to go, to join others in their grief, to allow our mortality, our limitations to connect us, to draw us together. Death is hard and life is good. By good, I don't mean easy or straightforward or comfortable or happy all the time. That's not who God is. As C.S. Lewis puts it in The Chronicles of Narnia, God is not a tame lion. Our faith does not bend life to our will. Reality is not manageable or docile or under control. And God is good. Good meaning whole. Life full of meaning, full of sensation, full of relationship, full of awe and wonder and depth that includes and goes beyond the grave. Death is hard and life is good. This quote often makes its way from my bulletin board into my sermons. If we are grounded in the love of God that protects us from nothing, even as it sustains us in all things, then we can face all things with courage and tenderness and touch the hurting places in others and in ourselves with love. Death is hard, and we are not protected from that. And yet, even though we die, we are invited to live. Our faith offers what we need to sustain us, to empower us to face all things with courage and tenderness, to touch the hurt in love. Life is good. The resurrection and the life, the hope and the reality held together. Whatever you need this day, may God meet you and fill you with courage and tenderness and love. Amen.